following presentation by Wealth Quarterback LLC, WQL, is intended for general information purposes only. No portion of the presentation serves as the receipt of or as a substitute for personalized investment advice from WQL or any other investment professional of your choosing. Please see additional important disclosure at the end of this presentation. A copy of WQL's current written disclosure brochure discussing our advisory services and fees is available upon request or at www.jalinski.org.
Hey, everybody, it's Josh Jalinski, the Financial Quarterback. Today, we're back on the field with part two of the rules of the financial game. Then, in extra points, we confront a surprising trend: why so many, even with high incomes, are living paycheck to paycheck. This is the Financial Quarterback Podcast. Hi, everybody. This is Josh Jalinski, the Financial Quarterback, talking about the rules of the game. Now, you could follow two rule books. You could follow the rules of wealthy people, financial institutions, and the government that want your money. They want it periodically. They want it on a regular basis. And then when you want it, they want to give it to you little by little when you want it back. But you can also have your own rule book. So you can win the financial football game. We went through the first four rules in the previous show. In this show, we're going to go through rules 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9, which are powerful. Once you've satisfied the rules of saving 15% of your pay, getting 6 months saved in emergency fund, and then making sure you have that wealth coordination account, then and only then should you max out your 401k. Should you contribute to the 401k. But you don't contribute the max first. You contribute up to the employer match portion first. Now, eventually you max out, but first you want to at least get the employer match. Many 401ks offer an employer match. Something like they give you 3% of your salary or 50% of up to the first 6% of your salary. And you want to contribute no more than half of your gross annual savings rate to the retirement account. Why? This is because your plan should be balanced so that you have adequate protection, adequate liquidity, because you don't have a lot of liquidity in your 401k. So let's say you're coming in a lot of money. I saw a guy the other day, he said, Josh, I'm coming into a $25 million job. Make a lot of money. What do I do? Well, he could max out his retirement plan, but he also needs to have other money for reinvesting in his business, liquidity, diversification, to take advantage of opportunities. So that's why we suggest contributing the no more than half of your savings, that 15% saved, to a 401k, yet after you've done all those other things and you have ample liquidity to take advantage of opportunities when that beach house comes for sale, then and only then can you max out. You must consider where future tax brackets might be when you retire also. This is why various types of income in retirement makes sense, meaning you want to have multiple streams of income, MSI. So let's say all you have is 20 grand to save in a 401k and you have sufficient emergency funds. You may want to put 10 in a traditional 401k for the write-off now and 10 in the Roth so that you have tax-free money for build-up later. So this is all about like diversification of strategy. A lot of people talk about, well, I'm going to diversify. My advisors had to diversify. Well, diversification's good, but it doesn't mean you just own a bunch of crap or you just own 500 different stocks. I'm talking about strategic diversification. Okay, I have some Roth. I have some insurance. I have some 401k. I have some emergency fund. You have these different buckets of money for different things, and you're coordinating them. Rule number 6 is be a lender. Now, I'm not talking about hard money lending, although you could do that. Once you've completed your full protection, so you've completely protected yourself from calamity, and you have savings component rules and requirements, you are then ready to go into the growth component. These financial assets and rule six is be a lender. Loan money to the government, get a treasury. Loan money to a municipal government, get a muni, municipal bond. Loan money to a corporation, get some interest from that. These financial assets are more income oriented, more conservative generally. Some even have guarantees, and some have lower risk. Also, you are lending money to the federal government, corporations, and or municipalities. So rule number six, be a lender. Rule number seven, be an owner. You're never going to be amounting to significant wealth if you're just a lender. We want you to own trophy financial assets, companies, car washes, businesses. Once you have completed your first level of growth, which are more of the lending category, then you move to ownership. That's your owning companies. Those are called equities. When you buy a stock, you're literally owning equity in a company. These financial assets are income and growth oriented, but more risk than bonds, municipal bonds, corporate bonds, or government bonds. Instead of being a lender of your money as in the first tier of the growth component, now you're being second tier, you're being an owner, you're a shareholder. You get to participate in the potential profitability of the companies and appreciation of their value. Hey, this is Josh Jelinski, the financial quarterback. We'll be back after these messages. The 10% Happier podcast is one guiding philosophy. Happiness is a skill you can learn, so why not master it? Hosted by Dan Harris, a journalist who had a panic attack on national television and then set out on a journey of transformation. He's now on a quest to help others achieve peace and happiness. I sound a little bit like him. Every week, Dan talks to top scientists, meditation teachers, and even the odd celebrity in wide-ranging topics like productivity, anxiety, enlightenment, psychedelics, and relationships. The interviews cover everyone from Brené Brown to Alexander Draiman to Sam Harris. Think of listening to 10% Happier as a workout for your mind. Find 10% Happier wherever you listen to podcasts.
Tune in to the financial quarterback, Josh Jelinski, then learn how to protect your financial future in a down economy. Josh and his team at the Jelinski Advisory Group can help you lower your taxes and lower your risk in these uncertain times with a 27-point checklist designed to improve your financial health. Whether you're worried about runaway prices, fear of an upcoming recession, or a stock market meltdown, tune in to the Financial Quarterback and count on Josh Jelinski to call the play. For a free copy of Josh's book, The Retirement Reality Check, call 888-988-5674. That's 888-988-5674. Or visit Jelinski.org. That's Jalinski.org.
Rule 8, own hard assets. So a lot of advisors too, the reason I love my model, you'll have bond people, you'll have stock people, and they usually don't mix well, and then you'll have hard asset people. I believe in all of them. Why? Let's say you love real estate and you're a hard asset person. Well, you would need liquid assets to buy more real estate, which can be in the growth component, in lending-based assets or equity-based instruments, or in emergency fund type vehicles. Once you have completed your first and second levels, think of it like a video game. First level, be a lender. Second level, be an owner. Third level, own the hard assets. Those growth assets have the greatest opportunity for building wealth, but have the greatest asset. Think owning a business, owning like your own business, a tax shelter, real estate. These financial assets provide opportunities for income and growth, while providing tax benefits. Similar to the second tier, you are an owner of these assets and businesses, and you may control these assets, enjoy their use and gain tax benefits, receive income now off the rents, build capital appreciation, and significantly reap many other advantages. Rule number 9, once you've built this, now you got to maintain, balance, and monitor your plan. That's the hardest for a lot of successful people. They just get too busy with this. You'll need to periodically rebalance your model to adjust for the changing circumstances in your life and the economic world around you. This is taken from the LEAP model rulebook. The ongoing use of the model is designed to help you organize your financial life, make each dollar work efficiently, give you peace of mind, increase protection against unknown risk, provide greater income, greater legacy, greater control, and simplify your financial life and decision making. If you had a third in bonds, a third in equities, and a third in hard assets, you would almost never have a financial, like, ruinous thing. If you think about it, in times of calamity, hard assets and lending-based assets are better than growth assets. Time of growth, hard assets and growth assets perform better, typically, than lender-based instruments. Now, what about debt? How does debt play a role into your very financial picture? Debt management plays an integral role in your life. Properly structured debt, known as good debt, will allow you to have additional cash flow available for wealth-building strategies within your model. One of my regrets in life was I was a big fan of being debt-free. Still am, and I respect everyone who is. I didn't take advantage of maybe buying some extra properties with debt that I could have 10 or 12 years ago when rates were low and property values were low. It's a big regret I have. I was a little too conservative. That's okay. I can learn. Now, that being said, what about now when rates are 8%? Well, that may be bad debt. You have to incorporate then into your investment decisions. Maybe you rent a home. Maybe you don't buy. And maybe you just bank money, bank some serious cheddar, as we used to say. You know, bank some serious cheddar, because you never know. Interest rates start to come down again, and then you buy. Too much consumer debt or high interest credit card debt, that's bad debt. We don't want any of that. Will negatively impact your cash flow and limit your wealth building opportunities. Good debt can be characterized by low interest. It's potentially deductible. It's an installment payment plan. Bad debt, high interest, non-deductible. Too much revolving credit. Again, I'm going to give you a rule book summary. Rule number 1, full replacement protection. Max protection. Rule number 2, save 15% of your earned income. Rule number 3, build a liquidity fund of minimum 6 months in the bank. Rule number 4, avoid compounding taxable interest. Rule number 5, contribute to your retirement account. Rule number 6, be a lender. Rule number 7, be an owner. Rule number 8, own hard assets. And rule number 9, maybe you have all those 8 things. Are you monitoring what you're doing? Are you balancing it strategically? Not a rebalance. Notice I didn't say rebalance. Said balancing what you have strategically. And what is the end game of all this? It's literally to get 12 checks in retirement. And the categories are really 8 different streams of income in retirement. Did you know that you can get 8 streams of income in retirement? And for our clients, it could be a normal occurrence. How so? Well, following the rules of a successful plan can help you create an enjoyable retirement by continuing protection strategies throughout retirement, enjoy many kinds of retirement income, not just 1 or 2, and I'll reveal those at the end of the show. 3, reduce fear of running out of money. A lot of people, their biggest worry is running out of money. There are products that solve that. There are strategies that solve that. Number four, generate income through a paydown strategy. What's a paydown strategy? You don't have to leave $1 million to your kids. Maybe you pay down that account so you have a little more enjoyment, a little bit more fun. So instead of being rigidly applying the 3% rule, the 4% rule, you spend it over a 20-year period. You do a pay down. You do a reverse mortgage so that you have the equity in the house, but you're enjoying the equity. It's not just trapped inside your house. Also, you want to increase access, use, and control over assets and income. And then we want to create income that is more tax efficient and diminishing the impact of law changes, particularly tax law changes and market fluctuation. A lot of people, if they change the tax law, you'd be screwed. So you got to be careful. You understand how the rules work and how to get them back in your favor. And then ultimately, to provide a legacy for you and your family, the people you love and the causes you love. So let's go over how you can position. I want you to write this down. 8 streams of income, 8 multiple streams of income that you could get. 1, government programs. Live off the government, right? Social Security is an example of a government income stream that everybody gets. 2, trust income. 3, life insurance withdrawals or loans or dividends. 4, interest from the bank you could get as a check sent to you, or principal pay downs like we discussed. Then you can get annuities, pensions, and retirement account income, what are also called systematic withdrawals. It was somebody today go, hey, I thought I had to annuitize an annuity to get the income. I said, no, you don't have to annuitize. In fact, you don't want to annuitize because annuitizing means you're annuiciding. You're literally committing suicide on your principal accounts. And when you die, the money goes to no one but the insurance company. But you can have an annuity and take systematic withdrawals or rider income. Also, you can get interest, dividends, and principal paydowns from bonds or equity instruments. You can also get capital gains and income off of real estate and your business. So those are the 9 checks that we can help a listener make. Now, to sum it up, you must strategically position your money now. Rule 1, full replacement protection. Unforeseen events can happen and anytime, and you always want the most protection at the minimal cost. Rule 2, save at least 15% of your earned income for retirement. Rule 3, build liquidity. You need to have ready money. Ready money is Aladdin's lamp. Rule 4, avoiding compounding taxable interest so you don't get socked by the tax man. Rule 5, contribute to retirement accounts. Once you've satisfied rule 2 through 4, you're in a great position to max out that 401k. 6, be a lender. Then 7, be an owner, own equities. Lender, you own bonds. 7, you're an owner of equities. You own shares of stocks. 8, own hard assets. 9, maintain and balance your portfolio regularly, at least annually, to maintain the optimal model. Those are the 9 rules of wealth that you need to know about right now. Welcome back to Extra Points, where we tackle your financial questions, dive into current money matters, or explore what's buzzing in the financial world, all based on what you, our listeners, are curious about. Josh, what do we have today?
I got a good one for us today. I saw this thread on Reddit where someone said they were making $200,000 a year in San Francisco and they were still living paycheck to paycheck. And I've been seeing a lot of this lately where people are making what you would think is a good salary, but are still complaining that they're living paycheck to paycheck. So I wanted to get your thoughts on this and maybe some tips out of it for people who feel this way and don't know what to do.
Basically, you see these stories just about every so much. I mean, if you Google making 200K and living paycheck to paycheck, you see numerous articles. Market Watch, more than one in four workers making 200 grand a year or more now say they live paycheck to paycheck. So even rich people are struggling to save. There's so many articles like this. March 16th, Time Magazine, people making six-figure salaries are living paycheck to paycheck. What the heck is wrong with you people? When I was first starting my wealth journey, and I know what it is, I know the problem, but let's talk more about it. Once coveted six-figure salaries, this is according to Anisha Kohli, once coveted six-figure salaries are struggling to keep up with today's cost of living, with more than half of people who are making six figures still living paycheck to paycheck, according to a new study. As rampant inflation pervades the economy, with it sitting, you know, whatever aspect, you know, 5%, 6%, Smart Asset, the financial advice company, acknowledges that even high earners are struggling to build wealth, especially in pricier cities. In December 22, 51% of people earn 100 grand reported living paycheck to paycheck, which is 7% more than the previous year. According to a survey from Financial Insight, an advising company, Payments and Lending Club, a study found that the worst places to live for people who earn 100K a year are, after taxes and adjusted for cost of living, 100 grand equates to 35 grand a year in New York, 36K in Honolulu. But think about this. If you're in Honolulu, what more do you need? You surf. You live on the beach. You know what you do when you're going to Hawaii? When I go to Hawaii, I go to Costco, Tart. You know, you go, you don't need to go to the high-end places. 36K in San Fran, that would be tough to live in. 44 in Washington, D.C., 44 in Long Beach and Los Angeles. I get it. But number one thing I see is people making 100 to 200 grand a year are just, they are consumed with conspicuous consumption. They don't shop at IKEA. They shop at Restoration Hardware. They don't shop at Walmart. They shop at, I don't know, what do they shop at? I don't know. You know, Nordstrom. West Elm, Nordstrom. Yeah. You know, they got to live Restoration Hardware, Pottery Barn. It's still the old keeping up with the Joneses. So my tip is live on frugality. If you make 200 grand a year and you ain't saving 40 grand a year, there is something wrong with you. I get it. Rent is high. Taxes are high. But if you're making 200 grand a year, you should be saving 40K a year. Now, after that, I would get you would then feel like you're living paycheck to paycheck. But over 10 years, even at 0% interest, you just save 400 grand. So the point I'm trying to say is, do you really need the latest computer? Do you really need the latest iPhone? Oh, I need iPhone 15 for work. Oh, I need my iPad and my laptop and my computer for work. No. So just say no to consumption. It's called in economics the propensity to consume. And every so often you see these reports where people are living paycheck to paycheck and just struggling. According to CBSNews.com, 6 in 10 Americans live paycheck to paycheck. I get that stat more. The 200K stat, I don't get. I do get it because here's what happens. I'll tell you my own journey of wealth from negative 60 grand in credit card debt. I first year in the business, I made like nothing. And I made 35 grand. So just enough to kind of make ends meet. When I started making 70 grand year two, everybody told me, oh, buy the couch, buy the TV, upgrade your neighborhood. But you know what? I'm a contrarian. So I said, no, I'm not going to live like my parents. So you know what I did with that 35 grand? I saved 100% of it. And we lived on about 2 to 3K a month. Then when I made 100K, I saved that. So you can do it. You just choose not to. You like going out to eat. You like watching Netflix and Hulu and arts and entertainment TV. You know, and you know what? Even I get screwed. You know, I went on my credit card a couple months ago and I realized I was still getting charged for Breaking Bad's final season. It wasn't Breaking Bad. It was the other one. Better Call Saul's season finale. You had to pay money for it. Do you remember that? You had to pay money to some, you know what? I was an idiot.
One of the streamers? Yeah, AMC Plus,
and,
right?
And AMC Plus. And I just kept it going. You know what? AMC Plus stinks. And I called them and I said, you know, I didn't use your service. They go, oh, we'll only refund you the last 1 or 2 months. You know what? If you're getting foreclosed on in your house, do you really think AMC Plus is going to care? No. They don't care about you. I care about you. That's why you listen to the Financial Quarterback each week. But it's not like I'm better than you. It's just when I started saving, the number one problem for people is the propensity to consume. We were just talking to Josh Fisher, our producer. His butt's hurting him because he's an old chair, an office chair. And I was telling him, hey, you know, I got this nice, you know, Herman Miller chair. You know what? It took me 15 years after I was financially successful to splurge on a chair. Actually, the desk that I still use was free. The old Macintosh Inn in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, gave this desk to a charity, America's Keswick in Whiting, New Jersey. Keswick didn't even want this. So I got this wooden desk. You don't even see what's going on with the desk. It has no relevance to you. But I love it because it shows you that I'm frugal. Now, I do probably need to upgrade my desk eventually. But you know what? Do the frugal thing and you will get out of this paycheck to paycheck slog. Hey there, listeners. Are you up against a financial obstacle or have a burning money question? Here's your shot to not get sacked. Get your questions answered live on the Financial Quarterback Podcast. Just dial 888-988-JOSH and leave us a message with your question. Or write us an email at info@financialquarterback.us. I might just answer your question live on the air. That's 888-988-5674, 888-988-JOSH. Or email us info@financialquarterback.us. Leave us a message. And let me help create your game-winning financial plan.
The previous presentation by Wealth Quarterback LLC, WQL, was intended for general information purposes only. No portion of the presentation serves as the receipt of or as a substitute for personalized investment advice from WQL or any other investment professional of your choosing. Different types of investments involve varying degrees of risk, and it should not be assumed that the future performance of any specific investment or investment strategy or any non-investment related or planning services, discussion, or content will be profitable, be suitable for your portfolio or individual situation, or prove successful. WQL is neither a law firm nor accounting firm, and no portion of its services should be construed as legal or accounting advice. No portion of the video content should be construed by a client or prospective client as a guarantee that he or she will experience a certain level of results if WQL is engaged or continues to be engaged to provide investment advisory services. A copy of WQL's current written disclosure brochure discussing our advisory services and fees is available upon request or at www.jalinski.org.